Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House, where we are broadcasting live this morning from the beautiful pines of Flagstaff, Arizona, just off the NAU campus at the Reardon Mansion State Park. We're here with museum education curator Sasha Siskinen. Again, thank you for joining us. And we're up here this weekend for the Flagstaff Home and Garden Show that's being held in the Walk-Up Sky Dome on campus. And if you're in the area, at 12 o'clock, I'll be doing a demonstration on the floor of the home show on home security, things that you can do in, about, and around your house that are easy to do, simple projects you can tackle over a weekend that will significantly increase the security of your home. So if you're in the area, drop by and introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you. Back to the Reardon family. Okay, so we've got two brothers, married two sisters. They built a 13,000-square-foot duplex, living quarters on each end. The middle's a common area. In that common area is the kitchen. And what else?
Actually, they had separate kitchens.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So everything separate, just a big family room in that common area. Big billiards table, fireplace. They could hang out and play together, throw in that space.
Okay. And the last Reardon living here was here right up until it turned into a state park, 83, 84, right?
Blanche,
in that area.
Yes.
Blanche. Okay. And was it her sister or her cousin that was Mary?
Her cousin.
Okay. And Mary is the namesake for a lake just down the street.
Yes. Lake Mary in town, our local reservoir. Her dad, Tim Reardon, actually saw that little valley there and thought, oh, we could dam this up and create a reservoir for town. So then a board of directors, I believe, chose to name it after his then baby daughter, Mary.
And I imagine Lake Mary's pretty full right now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, what a great snowfall, moisture winter we had in all of northern Arizona. This is going to be great. But with the high temperatures that we've got, and it has been dry for a little while, I do want to put everybody on notice. I was given an alert this morning that we are virtually the entire state, with the winds that are coming in later today, we are under a red flag warning for range fires. So if you're out there camping and listening to us this morning, please be on extra, extra alert to make sure your campfire isn't the one that blows the one ember out of the protected fire ring that causes problems for everybody. So we're under a complete, virtually the entire state is under a red flag warning today and this weekend. So let's talk a little bit more about the house. We're in the craftsman style.
Yes.
And that, in my little short memory and study of that style, that included a lot of the furniture kind of was,
yes,
included in the architectural work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the craftsman style, or arts and crafts style, it's sometimes called, it was a whole lifestyle movement. So it wasn't just about furniture or houses. It was about the way you were living and the way you were connecting with family and friends. So the furniture is part of that, though, and we have some beautiful original Stickley pieces. Gustav Stickley, he was big in the craftsman furniture design, and also a man who worked for him named Harvey Ellis, who only worked for him for a little while before Harvey Ellis's death, but we have a few of his beautiful pieces with metal inlay in the wood that you can see on the tour there inside the house.
Wow. So that's, it kind of sounds like Frank Lloyd Wright-ish, kind of.
Yes. So Charles Whittlesey, who designed this house, studied under a man named Louis Sullivan in Chicago, and Frank Lloyd Wright also studied under Louis Sullivan at a different time.
And so you have the architecture of the furniture matching the architecture of the house, and then there's a lot of little built-in nooks and crannies throughout the whole house.
Yeah, built-ins were really important. So if you come to the house, you'll see gorgeous bookcases in the wall, window seats in a bunch of rooms, and little fireplaces and nooks. They had central heat, actually, in the house through a coal furnace, a gravity heat, but they did put in some fireplaces here and there for extra heat, and they have what's called an ingle nook on each side of the house. And if you've been to a Frank Lloyd Wright house, he uses ingle nooks a lot too, but Whittlesey was also using them. And it's a little corner, it's kind of called a room within a room, and there's two little benches you can sit on, and then a little fireplace. So it's a cozy little corner to sit. You can greet guests there, you can read by the fire.
central heating in 1904. Now, that's innovative. Again, it was a gravity-fed coal furnace.
Yep.
Where was it located in the house?
In the basement.
Okay.
There's one on each side.
And the basements aren't a part of the tour.
No, unfortunately.
Okay.
We'd like to eventually get them in a place where we could do like special tours, but it's a little easy to trip and hit your head, so we have to make it safe first.
Is the equipment still down there?
Not the original furnace. Okay. They put in modern furnaces, okay. But there's still a big pile of coal in the basement.
Wow. So what did they do? And they certainly don't have to fight heat like we have to down in the valley floor, but what did they do in the design of the house to help keep it cool in those warmer summer days before the cool monsoons started blowing in and cooling them off every afternoon?
Yeah, they have what's called a light well through the middle of the house. So up in the attic, there are skylights that you could open. And then there's a door between the attic and the second floor of the house where the bedrooms are. And that can also be opened. It's a glass door, so the light can come in. And then there's an actually open cutout in the floor to the ground floor that allows the air to flow through and the light to come in. So it's like a giant skylight and their air conditioner.
Yeah, it's basically what we do in the Midwest a lot, or what's been done is a whole house fan, where you open the windows and you turn a fan on that takes the air out of the house, blows it in the attic, and exhausts out the gable vents on either side. So this is a passive system. So it does it without fans or motors.
Well, now we put in a fan. Yeah. But, yes.
How is the house cooled right now?
It's just through natural. That light well. Yeah, the downstairs stays very cool in the summertime. Upstairs gets a little warm, so we put a small fan in the attic to draw the heat up, and we still use that light well to keep it cool.
How much of the house is open for tour? Is the entire house, other than the basement? Oh, can you get upstairs?
Yeah. Almost all of it. On the east side of the house where the tours happen, we go upstairs and down. Don't go to the attic or the basement, but you see almost every room. And then on the west side of the house, we have the first floor open. So that's where the tours end, and you get to see that side of the house. Upstairs, we have closed. That's where our storage is.
And again, the tours are every hour.
Yes.
7 days a week.
7 days a week. The first tour is at 10 o'clock in the morning, and the last tour is 4, and they're on the hour in between.
And price for admission?
$10 for everyone 14 or older.
Extremely easy to find. You just come right in downtown Flagstaff.
Yep, just turn off of Milton onto Reardon Road.
And Milton is the main drag through Flag. You can't miss it. Reardon is probably about the fifth or sixth light you hit as you turn north off 40 or hit town from I-17. Turn right, and it's maybe a quarter of a mile down the road. Very easy signage. There's a gate at the driveway. You feel like you're in the middle of the NAU campus, but you'll find the park. It's right there.
Yep. So
come into the parking lot, and you enter the Welcome Center.
Yes.
Where we're sitting right now.
Yes.
This alone is a good-looking building.
Yeah. This was originally the garage for the house. So we're situated behind the house, and it was a six-car garage. We don't think they ever had six cars at once.
Wow.
But the architect didn't want to build a small structure behind a big house, so he built them this larger garage.
And this, too, is done in the slash siding method. And they've actually put the slash cuts on the outside to make it look like a log cabin. But they also went through the trouble to put them on the inside to really try and fake you out. So they're really trying hard to make this look like a log house without it being a log house.
Yes.
It adds a lot of efficiencies to it because, again, as I stated earlier, those framed cavities in between the two sections of siding create an area where you can insulate, stop the drafts. I'm just wondering, what would they have used for insulation? They've got plenty of sawdust.
From what I've heard, they actually didn't have any insulation.
They didn't insulate that cavity at all?
No, it would have just been open space.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And then the glass in the windows. All the windows here are original and all the glass?
Yes, unless they've been broken over the years, but yes. And we have some beautiful transparency windows, which are images that were originally printed right on the glass so that the light shines through and projects them into the house during the day. And at night, because they had the electricity, it would project the images outside the house in the evening.
I don't remember seeing that on the tour. That sounds very, very interesting.
Yeah, they're in that big shared billiards room.
Okay, all right. Well, again, we're here at the Reardon Mansion State Park. We'd like to invite you all to come experience it. I think you'll find it educational and also a little inspirational as you find some of the innovative protocols, procedures, and techniques that they put together in building this house in 1904 with knob and tube electric. They had their own electrical generating station. That's where all the sawdust was getting burned up, so they didn't have any insulation. So they're generating their own electricity. They've got a domestic hot water supply system, which was extremely rare in the early 1900s. They've got the inglenooks, the little sitting rooms inside of a room. They've got the Craftsman furniture throughout the house. They've got the light wells with the open areas between the first and second floor that give you the opportunity to do the cooling. Lots of great innovative things. Quite frankly, with central air conditioning and heating, we've abandoned a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Rosie, just looking at the history of the Reardon family is a great way to learn about Flagstaff, huh? Have you bought any books since you've been up there?
Well, I kind of cleared the book selection out the last time I was here. I will look and see if they've brought in anything new that I don't have, and I will pick up whatever I don't have.
Well, it looks like they were very community-minded. They were very much involved in establishing health care for their workers and public education and churches and just community life. But Matt Reardon, I think, has a similar heart to yours. He donated 600 volumes from his personal library to the library, the local library. So maybe that's something we could do. We could find some place to donate some of your books to the library. So I think you could learn from history here.
She's planning my legacy long before I plan on even thinking about donating my books to anybody.
It doesn't sound like he was old at the time. It was just, he had to have a place to live, so he had to donate some of his books.
Well, he had more kids hanging around the house, and now that we're empty nesters, I'm going to turn two more bedrooms into library space.
Oh, great. I'm sure Sasha would love to have some of yours in their library.
In the guest welcoming center, you do have a little bit of a bookstore and a gift collection here, dioramas of building the community, building the lumber mill, building families, building new homes. And the leaders that the Reardons were in the Flagstaff area. So, again, I can't encourage you enough. If you're listening, you're in Arizona, and you haven't been to the Reardon Mansion State Park, come and introduce yourself to Sasha Siskinen, the museum education curator. Sasha, thanks a million for joining us this morning and filling us in. And I'll give you an opportunity to get everybody invited up here.
Oh, great. Yeah, thanks. Please come see us. We get a lot of people who come to see the architecture and be inspired if they're either building a house or remodeling. So we'd love to have you and show you around. And we're open for the summer 7 days a week. So come by any day. You can walk around the grounds for free. And if you want to take the tour, it's just $10.
And while you're up here, go ahead and take a tour of the other state parks in the area. The Pioneer Living, it's not a living history, but the Pioneer Museum.
Yep.
Just a few miles north of town. A very interesting, cool building.
Yeah.
Originally built as a hospital.
Yes, it was the county hospital for the indigent and the county poor farm originally.
So you take in the two state parks, and then you stay the night, and you go view the stars at Lowell Observatory, and you've got a Flagstaff weekend wrapped up in a package in a boat. Thanks. All right, Sasha, thanks a million. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking about Arizona staycations.